We've been going through a series on fathers, which came from a session we did on honoring fathers. And I hope that we can finish this in this segment. But I want to focus today on the power of a father to affect generations. Everyone in this room is presently being affected by their great, great, great grandfather. I want to begin by talking about my childhood Baintown experience. Baintown is a small little area in this island where I was born with my other 10 siblings. And our parents were wonderful parents. And we grew up in a neighborhood where, of course, we had no television. When we first started living in that area, we were not able to purchase those kinds of expensive things. We used to watch the radio. Some of you all know what I'm talking about. There used to be some radio programs that were stories. We used to sit around and watch the story on the radio. And we didn't have sophisticated places to eat like McDonald's and Burger King. Matter of fact, we couldn't afford to buy snacks. Trying to feed 11 kids in a low-income area was a little challenging. So my mother and father used to actually allow us to get our snacks from the trees in the neighborhood. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. So when we wanted a snack, we didn't go to McDonald's. We went to Mac Juju Plum. We didn't go to Burger King. We went to Burger Coca Plum. And we used to eat all the beautiful fruits and berries. We used to enjoy them. And this is probably why I have all of my teeth still at age 54. And my kids need braces. Because we ate natural fruit. And I used to remember, sometimes we would be so hungry, we'd go to the fruit trees, and the fruit tree would not have ripe fruit yet, but we would still be hungry. So what we used to do is we used to pick the fruit while it was green. And if it was a mango that was green, we'd beat it against the wall. Come on, anybody got this revelation? To soften it up. And if it was green plum or juju, we would get salt to season it. Anybody got a revelation? See, some of you young folks don't know how good it tastes to dip your canep in salt and pepper. Ah, come on, somebody. And we used to eat those fruit green. And I remember my mother telling us one day, we bought this big bag of green plums. Scarlet plum, green. We were so hungry. And we got the box of salt. We sat on the ground in the back of the yard. And we dipped the plums, green, into the salt. And we ate all of them. And my mother was warning us, don't do that. You will get sick. Well, you know, young people are much wiser than older people. So we ate all these green plums. And all of a sudden, about three quarters way through the plums, everybody slowed down. And then I saw my brother Paul. Water came to his eyes. He starts watering in his eyes. And my sister Deborah, she was a little bit more stubborn. She kept eating. Then I began to feel what my brother was feeling. My entire mouth began to feel like somebody was taking a piece of steel, rubbing it against my teeth. Anyone know what I'm talking about? And I began to feel sick. And I ran in the house and told my mom, something's wrong with my mouth. It feels like everything is burning. And my mother said, your teeth is on edge. Now, I didn't know what that meant, but it lasted a long time. I never wanted to eat plums again. It made me sick. Well, we talk about fathers. God says fathers are just like green plums. Let's read what it says. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse 2, it says, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. You wonder why your life is hurting so much? In many cases, you're struggling with problems. Somebody ate something in the last generation. And it ain't your mother. The generational impact of fathers have not been fully estimated. It is incredible. But notice what it says. The father enjoys the eating, but the pain afterwards is felt by the children. And this is why we've been trying to deal with this. This is George Foreman. He and I sat down and spoke personally for a while because he's one of the most successful fathers that I've ever met. All of his kids are respectful. Two of them were there with him. One was sitting right to his left while we were talking. And he told me, he said, the reason why my kids have turned out well is because they must never forget the price I paid for them. Do you know George Foreman is a multi-billionaire? We all know that. He's the one who invented the George Foreman grill. He didn't just make a lot of money from boxing, but he's a businessman. And do you know what he did? Right outside Houston, Texas, he has a big ranch, hundreds of acres, and he built a mansion on the acreage. Beautiful multi-million dollar house. Do you know what he did? He went back to the ghetto where he was brought up, where his single mother brought him up. He bought the piece of property that the house he was born in is still on. Old, dilapidated wooden house. Then he said he hired engineers to build an exact replica of that broken down ghetto house right in the front yard of the mansion. So when you go to visit him, and when his kids come home from school, they must pass history. To get into the future. And he said, every time I go home, he says, I'm reminded where I came from. And it keeps me and the kids humble. Maybe you need to go back and find the old house. He wants his children, he says, to never forget that his father was not always who they think he was. He had to pay a price. What a man. He received the top award from us this week as the leading leader in our conference there. I invited him to come to speak to the Diplomat Center. He accepted. So he's coming here to preach. George Foreman. Because I want you to hear his story. All of his children know his God. He said, his church isn't big. It's a small church. Matter of fact, he told me, he says, some Sundays, just his family is the congregation. He's got 10 kids. He's so big, they all show up. Very humble man. Remember this foundation scripture. Honor your father and your mother. Then you will live long on the earth. Ephesians 6 repeats it. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first command with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life. Notice, long life again is attached to honoring fathers. Which means to dishonor the fathers in our countries will create more death. Perhaps this is why 82% of all the men in prison have a problem with fatherless homes. Perhaps our crime can be correlated with the absence of fathers in the lives of people. What is a father? I just want to reiterate this for those who are visiting. The word father is the Hebrew word Abba, is the Greek word pater, and it means source, nourisher, sustainer, protector, progenitor, founder, and author. Very powerful word, Abba. The word father, therefore, means the source and the sustainer and the progenitor of a thing. We are suffering from the absence of fathers as models. And I mentioned this, I want to repeat it again. Women are the greatest sufferers of a lack of fathers. Because women suffer twice. First, they suffer if their father is not a good father. And then they suffer if they marry a man who didn't have a good father. So they suffer twice. Women demand from men what they can't deliver because the men didn't get it from their father. That's a sad reality. And so here's what you do if you didn't have a good earthly father. Jesus said, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." And in this brief series, we've been talking about the impact of fathers, and I'm hoping that the men and the young boys are capturing how important they are to national development. If you didn't have a good father, didn't have a good role model in the home, and this is for both men and women, Jesus says your answer to that problem is to use God and his fathering of his son, Jesus, as your perfect model. And be like him. We've been going through a number of the qualities of God's fathering, and I want to just throw a few out today for you to make a note of. First of all, when I researched the fatherhood nature of God, here is one of the components I found. Fathers provide character. I'm going to read these right from Scripture so you can see them. John chapter 6, verse 46 says, no one has seen the Father except the Son, whom the Father has sent. No one has seen the Father except the one who came from the Father. Only he has seen the Father. Now look at the next verse. Verse 19 of John 6. You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father. Listen to the words. He's saying, look, the Father is always reflected in the children. If you want to know what a father is like, you don't need to meet the Father. The character of the Father shows up in the children. That means a good father is always conscious that he is creating humans. He is building a human. There are many men in this room who do not want to be like their father. They do not want that character. What a tragedy. This is why God says, I have brought you this teaching today so that you can find the Father who you can be like, which is God Himself. In the book of John, chapter 8, another statement made by Jesus, verse 41, He says, you are doing the things your own father does. Now, this statement was made to religious leaders who wanted to kill him. And they were talking about fathers. Matter of fact, they told him, our father is Abraham. And Christ said, before Abraham was, I am. And then they attacked him. They said, you don't know who your father is. Watch this. I'm quoting. You don't know who your father is. That's what they said. Do you know what they actually said? You are illegitimate. Now remember, the rumor in the town was Mary got pregnant and Joseph was in the daddy. Remember that? They were referring to that. They were saying, you want to tell us about fathers? You don't know who your own father is. And then Jesus said these words, if you knew my Father, you would know me. But because you don't know my Father, you do not know the Son. And then he says, you are of your father, the devil. Now they were claiming Abraham. He said, no, your father is the devil. Why? You acting just like him. Everybody say character. In other words, you claim to be like Abraham, but you acting like Satan. Because fathers produce character. Show me a respectful young man. I'll show you a man who had a father who instilled respect. This is why it's so important for you men to find a man who you can look up to and emulate. And it might not be your biological father, but you better find a father. Because you need someone to get your character from. He told them, you are doing the things that your father do. Why? That's what children do. John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus says, I and my Father are one. The power of a father. I was speaking yesterday morning in Houston, Texas, at a men's conference, sponsored by the Redeemed Christian Churches of Nigeria. It was held in Houston, Texas at the Marriott Hotel. And they flew me in to speak to these men, and the room was full of all these men. My son was with me, and we were there speaking to all these men packed in this room. And at the end of it, I invited the men to come forward to rededicate themselves to manhood. They came and they were weeping. One of them came to me and pulled me to him. to his face and he put his mouth to my ear. And he said, I don't want to be like my father. My father was a womanizer. I am a deacon in my church and I feel the same attraction. I don't want these women in my life. I don't want to be like my daddy. I want to be a righteous man. He was weeping. He was begging to be set free from the impact of history. I prayed for him. Our prayer was very unique. I said, we're going to pray for deliverance from a spirit that entered your family line through your father's action. You don't need salvation. You're already saved. You need deliverance from a spirit. I said, but you're going to have to make some statements. And I led him through what I call generational renouncement. You have to renounce the right of that spirit that came into your family through your father's practices. Otherwise, the spirit cannot possess you, but it will harass you all your life. This is why good men go bad. I'm talking about men who are upright, spiritual men. They end up doing dumb things because they never dealt with the breaking of generational influence. I and my father are one. Do you want to be like your earthly father? Men, listen to me carefully. If you have children, male or female, your job is to make them just like you. So you better be something worth making like. It gets deeper. Fathers provide language and belief, according to Jesus. Look at this. The power of a father's language affects the language of the children. You ever wonder why young people curse all the time? You check their home environment. I remember one time, I used a word in my mother's presence. It was not even what I consider a curse word today. It was mild. H-I-P. I'm spelling it because we couldn't even say it. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. We had a home that was so tight, you couldn't even say H-I-P. See, I'm still spelling it. I'm afraid to say it. So we used to say, move your HIP. One time I said it and I picked my head up across the room. Went to go get my head. Put it back on my body. I have never in my life heard my father use a foul word. Never in my life. He's 85 years old. Never once have I ever heard my father use a foul word. So it's not even in our system, in our genes. So here's the question. Can your children repeat in public what you say in private? The power of a father. John chapter 8 verse 8 says, I do nothing of my own, but speak only what I was taught from my father. In other words, Jesus is saying, a good father puts words in his children's mouth. I hear my son and daughter many times talk, and they talk back to me, and I hear myself. And do you know, we do the same thing now. Our mother is dead, but we keep repeating her all the time. I repeat my father. Why? Because that's what fathers do. They put words in your mouth. Christ says, even I don't speak my own words. Can you repeat what your father said? powerful Father. John chapter 12, verse 48. It says, if I did not speak, for I do not speak rather of my own accord, but the Father who sent me, he commanded me what to say. Listen to Jesus. He's a grown man. He's 31 years old at this stage. And he's saying, I still don't have my own original language. The power of a father provides language for the children. Notice I have up here negative or positive. If your father is a man of faith, a man of hope, a man of good influence, you'll end up having those kinds of words. There are many, many young men who don't want to say what they say, but that's all they know.
$6.7 billion of us human beings have one thing in common. We will confront change. It's time to embrace change by purchasing a copy of Dr. Miles Monroe's book, The Principles and Benefits of Change. Discover the purpose of change, manage change, maximize critical change, rediscover the impact of change, learn how to respond to change, protect yourself against change, develop change strategies to chart your course to a preferred future. To purchase a copy of this book, call 1-242-461-6400 or visit us on the World Wide Web at bfmmm.com. If you want to become an agent of change, get your copy of The Principles and Benefits of Change today.
Do you want to be mentored by a world-renowned leader of leaders? Are you ready to be inspired to pursue your personal development goals? Then pursue higher learning through the Miles Monroe Leadership Mentoring Program. Dr. Miles Monroe offers a 12-month distance education experience, providing personal mentoring for persons who are ready to release and maximize their leadership potential.
As I started the mentorship program, it wasn't easy. It's not an easy program. And it is not something that you can just do in a day or 2 days. Success doesn't come. There's a process. So I just truly know that what I've gotten is a release of my gift. I understand who I am. I understand what I'm called for. And I understand that God is in control.
It's just been a wonderful experience. And my ministry, Soup for Life, was birthed out of this mentorship program because it helped to give me direction and helped me discover my true purpose in it.
Membership benefits include monthly letters from Dr. Monroe, a place on Dr. Monroe's prayer list, monthly resources, opportunities to travel with Dr. Monroe, 50% discount on Miles Monroe books used in the program, and much more. Registration for the new semester is now open. Contact a mentorship team member today and find out how you can become a part of this life-changing mentorship experience. Call 242-461-6474 or email us at mentor@milesmonroeleadership.com.
All persons interested in mentorship are asked to sign.
The world is in a global crisis. Natural forces are threatening human welfare. Fear is exploding. But there is hope. The kingdom of God is never in crisis. It's time to overcome personal and global crisis and learn the secrets to thriving in challenging times by purchasing a copy of Dr. Miles Monroe's book, Overcoming Crisis. Learn how to overcome the seasons of crisis, rise above crisis, strategies to managing crisis, the kingdom deployment, the seed principle, the management mandate, maximize the benefits of crisis, and discover your work beyond your job. To purchase a copy of this book, call 1-242-461-6400 or visit us on the World Wide Web at bfmmm.com. You do not have to live in crisis. You can overcome it. Get your copy of Overcoming Crisis today. Today.
I am very concerned about the English language lately in our country, because the most common word in our country that our young men know is a strange statement. You know? You know? And I was going, you know, down the road, you know, and I saw this man, you know. You know what I mean? I mean, this is not English. You provide the language for your children. Do you know Jesus Christ was so affected by his father? Ready for this? His father told him something. And what he told him was so unbelievable that it didn't make logical sense, but he believed what his father said so much, he quoted what his father said in the midst of people not believing it. What did he do? His father told him, if you go to earth and you lay your life down, you'll rise again. So the Bible says Christ came to earth, and then Christ says, my father told me that if I lay my life down, I'll take it up again. So I'm going to die on his word. Can you quote your father to the point where you even do things you don't understand, but if he said it so, it is so? The power of a father. Give your children faith words, not curse words. Fathers teach by example. Here's what Jesus said. Whatever fathers do is a classroom. John 8, verse 38. I am telling you what I have seen in my Father's presence. Jesus speaking. And you do what you have heard from your father. I know you've never seen these verses before, right? But they're so powerful. He said, look, here's how fathers work. Whatever you see them do, you do. I am telling you that what I have seen in my Father's presence, that's what I do, and you do what you have heard from your father. In other words, fathers determine the behavior of children. We do what we see our fathers do. Another one I thought was interesting. Fathers determine the quality of character, because fatherhood is manifested in the character of their children. Fathers determine what children are and what they are not. John 14:7, Jesus said, if you really knew me, watch this, you would know my father. If you really knew me, you would know my father as well. From now on, you do not know him and you have seen him. In other words, if you see the way the children behave, you can tell them what kind of father they have. Fathers are powerful. That means a child becomes what the father is. Now, please notice, no mothers involved in these statements, because mothers are nurturers. Mothers, they nurture, they care, but fathers set standards. A man grows up in a home where every time his mother gets his father upset, she gets hit physically. And the guy is 3 years old, he watches this. 5 years old, he watches this. 10 years old, he watches this. 14 years old, he watches this. 15 years old, he wants to do something about it, but he's afraid because that's his father. So now he begins to hide the frustration. He builds it up. And at 30, he gets married to you. Now he has 30 years of pent-up anger. And then one day, after the honeymoon, you get him mad. Now remember now, he's a deacon, singing the choir, praise and worship leader, prayer meeting director, but one day you got him angry. 30 years of pent-up father character building. And all he knows is when they get you angry, you hit them. And you are in shock. Did you hit me? Do you know who I am? and then hit you again. Bop. And you're like, I thought you were saved. And they hit you again. Bap. Why? Now you make him feel guilty twice. What's wrong? I do what I see my father do. Some men are wondering, why am I still having this tendency to do certain things? Because they've not yet been delivered from the history of the oppression of the power of a father. Ladies and gentlemen, please, I hope you don't take this to bring depression. My job is to first identify problems and then solve them by God's grace. If you knew me, you would know my father. How do you measure fathers? Jesus told us how to measure a good father. John 14. He says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my words. And the things I do is because my Father is living in me. Wow. Fathers live on. Ladies and gentlemen, especially the ladies, listen to me. You don't marry men. You marry histories. When you meet a guy, that ain't no person. That's a history. And you got to do research on that history before you take the history in your bed. Because these guys look nice, dress nice, got a good title, you know, got a good job, they got a fine car, but that's history driving that car. And you got to make sure, I know this history. Do I know this person? I was teaching the men yesterday in Houston, you know, one of the weaknesses of a woman, which is actually her strength. Women live by what they hear. Men live by what they think. Two different creatures. So words heard by a woman is an emotional experience. Words heard by a man is information. So women don't hear words, they feel words. This is why it's very important for a man to be careful what he says to a woman. She doesn't hear it. She actually experiences the word. If you call a man stupid, he calculates, am I stupid? No, not stupid. So it doesn't affect him. It's just information. You call a woman stupid? She has an experience with the word. It becomes her experience. That's why she hates you for 20 years. Now, this works in a very interesting way. So if you meet a woman who's not your wife, for example, you got to be careful what you say to her, sir. You tell a woman who's not your wife, you look wonderful, you look cute today. You just created a problem. Because she didn't hear that. She felt that. So she'd always come looking for you so she could have the feeling again. And then she'd start dressing better for you to say more. This is the problem, gentlemen. And that's why all of a sudden you realize you got problems. You didn't count on this. And all of a sudden you realize you created an issue. Don't say to women what you don't want them to feel. And if you're married, you got to limit your words to women. Because some of them are starving for the feeling. I'm telling you, they're 42 years old, ain't got no man, and here you are winking at them, telling them they look cute. Hey, brother, say it again. But I'm married, I don't care, just say it again. See, they want that feeling. You wonder why it's so difficult to get rid of sweethearts. You got to pick up the phone and say, get out of my life, you are ugly. Bam, hang the phone up. Don't say, baby, I think I got to go home to my wife. Now, I know you're cute and everything, but hey, it's too late. Don't say that to her. You'll never be free. Women don't hear words. They feel them. That's why you should never curse a woman. This is why a woman needs to hear from her husband every day, I love you. You got to say it. So, some men say, listen, 20 years ago at the altar, I told you I love you. What's your problem? Well, she felt it 20 years ago. She want to feel it today. Very important. So you got to tell them all the time. Tell your wife, I love you. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. You're my favorite woman. Man, all of a sudden, man, she'd say, come to bed every night. Just come on. Just come on, brother. You talk like that, you just keep on coming on. You ignore her, she has dysfunctional problems. Men don't talk to their wives. Women feel. They don't hear. Jesus was telling us that the fathers literally create the sons. So that when you see a son, you see the father. Now, if your father beat your mother or curse your mother all your life, and then you get married to a wonderful woman who you love, but your father never told your mother he loved her. In your presence, all you heard was fussing and cussing. You don't know how to love a woman. And we wonder why we battle. Why don't you talk to me, honey?
What do you want me to say?
Anything.
Okay, anything.
They just don't know. Why? No modeling. No modeling. You know, all the men in my family are very, very sentimental. We are very, very loving. All our men. My brother sitting over there, God, my brother Oscar, very loving. Why? My father always hugging my mother. They always talking. You know, he rub her. So now I see him kissing and I go, boy. And then we go laughing. You know, he said, get out of here. He did it in our presence. So my wife is benefiting from that a lot. Some men never saw that. They don't touch you unless they're having sex. Why? Did I hear you right? I ain't looking over there. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. You sound like you quiet over here, baby. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Fathers, listen to me, man. You literally enter your children's lives. They take you into their future. This is why if your father wasn't a perfect father, you got to get God into your life fast. And then get him to give you some models that you can adapt from and adopt from so you can receive the right modeling to protect the women that you marry. Here's the one that I thought was interesting. Fathers create beliefs. What you believe comes from your father. I like this. John 1:14 says, these words you hear are not my words. They belong to my father who sent me. In other words, fathers create the beliefs, systems, and the philosophy of their family. Look at verse 14, chapter 14, verse 31. Jesus says, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father commanded me to do. A good father gives his children what to do in their lives. This is why a lot of men don't know what to do. They don't know what to do with their lives. And I think of this young man, Kevin this morning. Kevin was supposed to have a daddy. He could call and say, daddy, I'm a medicine daddy. Give me some guidance. I had to father him through a book. And there are men sitting here today with the same problem. At the crucial moments of their lives, there was no father to give direction. Fathers give commands to their sons and daughters. Without that, we get demands from our contemporaries. It's more important to get advice from a father than to get advice from a friend. Let me give you a couple more before we go. Fathers transfer self-worth. Now, this one is very crucial. John 15:9, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, this is important. Notice where he got his love from. How did he learn to love? Look at it. His father loved him. Think about the implications. If your father didn't love you, let's reverse that verse. Then you cannot love anyone else. We learn love from our fathers. We normally think of love coming from our mothers. God says, no, you learn love from your father. He says, as the father loved me. Now listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. You and I have been brought up in the Caribbean. We know that when men start talking about love of one another, we think, sissy. Am I right? What are you talking about? Your daddy hugging you, talking about he love you. You must be a punk. Look at that verse. He said, the reason why I can love you is because my daddy said he loved me. Do men talk to men about love? Son, I love you, son. Jesus had such a solid self-worth. He had a strong self-esteem. Why? Because his daddy told him, I love you, son. Let me tell you something. If your daddy tells you he loves you, it doesn't matter who hates you. My father loves me. That's it. You could talk bad to me, curse me, don't like me, criticize me. All I know is my daddy loved me. Women need to marry men who got love from their fathers. As the Father loved me, so I love you. You know why I hug men all the time? Because men don't get hugged. In this church, I'm a senior pastor. They call me a senior pastor. You know what I am? I'm just a daddy. Just take up where your daddy left off or give you what he never gave you. But you got to be in my presence. Have your father ever held you and say, son, you make me proud. Do you know when Christ was baptized? A voice came. This is my son. This is my boy. Listen, your mama always tell you she loves you. What about your father? Christ says the father is the one that makes it happen. I see these strong men on the sports channels. You interview them all the time.
Yeah, I want to say hello to my mama.
Yeah, hey, mom.
You know, my mama, you know, said, Yeah, my mama, you know, she taught me, you know, my mama, you know, and mama, you know, mama.
Where is your daddy? And then you hear them beating their girlfriends and going to jail. Stars with millions of dollars beating women. I just saw in the news last night, Whitney Houston came back in her first concert last night. Everybody's cheering. And I looked at her on the screen, and I'm thinking, you know, see, I think like a father, and I'm thinking, gosh, is the father peace in place? Because she married a man who didn't have a father, and he beat her and led her into drugs. Her mother was a gospel singer, a deaconess in the church. She grew up singing in the choir, but then she married a man who didn't have that. Didn't have a father to love him. He couldn't love a beautiful woman with an excellent voice. He beat her and pumped her with drugs. What kind of love is this? And you're divorced today. Some of you are divorced today because of what I'm talking about right now. You are divorced. You look back and you go, how did I make that mistake? What was wrong with that man? What went wrong? I'm taking you back to the problem. He couldn't love you because his father, not his mother, his father was missing. A father teaches a man to love his wife. I told God this year, I'm going to adopt every man in this church. Every male in the church. I'm going to adopt you as a father. If you are 20 years older than me, I still don't care. I adopt you as my son. Because age doesn't heal that. Look at this. Your love is just like the love you received. Your value is determined by the value that was put on you. John 15:15. Christ says, I have called you friends because everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Can I ask you a simple question? Can you tell your friends everything your Father did and taught you and what you saw? Is it good advice to give your friends what you saw your father did? These are deep questions. He said, look, you are my friends because I tell you everything my father told me. In other words,